Hello. Thank you for tuning in. You are listening to ByteRadio.me's Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. For network or show information, visit www.ByteRadio.me or call 843-808-0777. And now, the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show with your host, Robert Sharp. Good day, everyone, and thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Today, my special guest joining us from the UK is Lauren Robertson, and she is author of The Medium in Manolos, and she is also a public speaking coach. Lauren is a medium with a difference. Since training as a psychic medium at the age of 14, she has helped tens of thousands of people to connect with their loved ones in spirit and is known for her highly accurate readings and her ability to provide super specific details from those who have crossed over. But it's Lauren's fresh, unique approach to mediumship that makes her stand out from the crowd. The Medium in Manolos tells the story of how this young woman overcame her own fears, self-doubt, and self-consciousness to go from grieving granddaughter to confident, empowered medium and coach. For more information, you can visit her website, which is laurenrobertson.co.uk, and I have a direct link to her website in the show page description. So with that, I'd like to welcome Lauren to the show. Good day, Lauren.
Hi, Robert. Hi, listeners. Thank you so much for having me.
It is my pleasure, and I'm looking forward to speaking with you and the many facets of your career. What we'll do is that the plan is right now is we'll talk a little bit in the beginning of the show about your book and your journey as a psychic medium. Maybe take a call or two from listeners, and then after our break, halfway through the show, I want to talk to you about your public speaking career and support. So, first of all, let's start with your development as a psychic medium. Would you share a little bit with the listeners, kind of how that happened? Since in the introduction, I indicated that it started at the age of 14.
Yes, certainly, I'd be happy to. So when I was 13 years old, my mother bought me my first deck of angel cards, and I loved these angel cards, and I took to them very naturally, and I used to take them into school with me and do readings for my peers and my maths teacher and basically anyone who would let me do a reading for them. Between the age of 13 and 16 was actually a very unhappy time in my life. I was bullied at school and I didn't really fit in. People knew I had some pretty strange ideas about things, and so I didn't really find my place in school. And when I was 16, I was actually asked to leave for non-attendance, so I was expelled basically from school. And so I had been reading the cards for 3 years at this point, and I remember the day they asked me to leave, I was riding the bus home and I thought, my mother is going to kill me. So on the way home, I came up with this master plan that I was going to find a job. And so I would be able to say, Mom, bad news, I got kicked out of school, but good news, I got a job. So went home and went on my computer, and it was dial-up internet at the time. This was circa 2003. And I went on the Job Centre website, which is a government-run website here in the UK that helps people get into employment. And usually you can find just normal jobs on there. And on the website, they ask you to fill in a questionnaire. And the questionnaire asked all kinds of different questions, and I filled it in as petulantly as I possibly could because I didn't want a normal job. And I remember just praying and saying, I just want to be able to read my angel cards and to work with people and to connect with people intuitively in that way. And I filled this form in, and I clicked submit, and the job center suggested one job to me, and it was angel card readers, psychics, and mediums wanted in the Glasgow area.
Wow.
I went for an interview 3 days later with the owner of this company. I was so scared. I had my angel cards in my bag and I just literally had my school bag on, went up to her house, 16 years old, did a reading for her, and she hired me on the spot. And so that was the start of my journey of touring the UK and the world doing intuitive readings. And over the years, the angel cards fell by the wayside and the work that I did was just soul to soul. It was just looking at people and getting a sense of what they were like and trying to share things with them that were both true and helpful. And then that journey progressed even more to working with people's loved ones in spirit. And again, it was just a very natural progression until one day something very dramatic happened, which I wrote about in my book, The Medium in Manolos.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. So now, I mean, when you go from – now, first of all, you know, as far as, you know, using the angel cards and, you know, it's – I have found that – you know, for many people, it's a useful way to use a tool such as that is a useful way of beginning, you know, to connect with spirit and you know, kind of establish that connection. So when you moved from away from using the cards to, you know, not needing them necessarily as a tool, do you feel that you had that it was just the strength of the connection that you had to spirit that allowed you to be able to not necessarily have to use those as a tool?
That's a great question. Actually, what I think it is it's the strength of my connection to people. I love people. I genuinely care about people and their well-being and what makes them tick, what's holding them back, and what the true potential is that's within them and what the true nature is of the human spirit. And I'd always been an empathic child. I was always very sensitive to other people's feelings and their mindset and always felt that I was, you know, emotionally a few steps ahead of what people were feeling and thinking and what they were about to do next. And I think it's that love for people that made me able to come away from the cards so easily and just get on a level with people about what was going on for them in their lives.
Yeah. So as and someone who's empathic, you know, and being able to read people, one of the things that some people who are sensitive that way find challenging is to be able to, you know, feel the, you know, the emotions and what's going on with individuals, but sometimes have difficulty in not absorbing that particular energy into their. So for you, was that ever a challenge, and if not, how do you? How are you able to, you know, recognize and tune into that particular energy without having it affect yours personally?
So for me, I'm very fortunate because my work with spirit and my work intuitively with people has always been very boundaried. So I began this work professionally at 16 years old. And it was a case of you turn up to your work at this time and you're expected to do X, Y, and Z. And you do that to the best of your ability. And then you clock out at this time and you go home. And I think that that was actually really, really useful because what it meant was there was a context in which I was to do my work and do it well. And in order to do my work and do it well in that context, I had not to sort of stay in that world or waste my energy or like waste it by floating around in that sort of sphere outside of work. And so I had a very time in which I was concentrating that energy. And then of course, as a 16-year-old as well, I had many other interests besides spirituality, which I think helped temper and balance this notion of kind of getting too overwhelmed or too sucked into the feelings and emotions of other people. I was ready to knock work on the head at the end of the day, having done a good job, and go out with my friends. So I think those two things really helped.
Yeah, well, that's perfect. And, you know, the idea of having those boundaries, you know, is so important. And I think sometimes when people are developing or strengthening that that particular gift or, you know, skill, many times they just forget to put up those boundaries, and it can really be very, like you say, I mean, it can be draining. And what you said, you know, you kind of avoided that. So for you, even with, you know, and doing angel cards, so you would have gotten messages or guidance to give to the people that that you were working with. How do you differentiate the messages that you're receiving from your internal, you know, Lauren talk?
Yeah, I mean, they have a different feel to them. They have a different texture almost to them. They're thoughts usually that have not occurred to me in my private life or in my private mind, which usually tells me that they're not my own thoughts. And really for me, the proof has always been in the evidence. It's always been in the asking the other person. I'm having this thought, I believe it's relevant to you. Is it or isn't it? And it's been in that person's validation of whether what I'm saying is accurate that I've come to know what an intuitive thought feels like versus one of my own thoughts.
Okay, that makes sense. That makes sense. And, you know, because I know for some people, it can, I mean, when, you know, I kind of started down this, you know, this path and trying to get clear, you know, what the, you know, whether it was the message was my head or from before, for me, discernment was a challenge, you know, and and what kind of helped me along the way was you know, occasional out of the blue, with no connection to anything, things coming in, you know, and, you know, that at that point I knew it wasn't my, you know, logical monkey chatter in my head that it came from somewhere else. And so whenever that happened, I tried to, you know, become aware of, like you said, the feeling or the texture or the delivery, and try and capture that and to kind of make that recognizable for when it would happen in the future.
One thing I would definitely recommend for anybody going through that experience is, it's interesting when you say, Robert, about, you know, whether it's you being stuck in your own head and with your own logical thought, because that's a really accurate distinction, I think. Whenever I was mistaking my own thinking for a message, it was in fact because I was stuck in my own head. I was worried about how I looked, or about getting it right, or about pleasing this person, or about whether they were going to say no and how I was going to feel. It was all about me, and it was all about how I was going to come across in the situation, and, you know, fighting and wrestling with the process. Whereas what I found is, if I dropped my attention, like my awareness, down into my heart or into my gut, and I focused on service instead of self, then the messages that came through were effortless, and they were easeful, and they were accurate, because I was focusing not on how I looked, but instead on what the other person needed. And if I find myself getting too stuck in my head about things, I still do that to this day, both in my intuitive work and generally in my life. I drop myself down into my heart and my gut, and I just ask, how can I best serve this person today? What can I do to make this person's life happier, easier, or more loving? And if you come from that place, the instances of you saying the wrong thing will diminish.
Okay. Well, you know, I mean, you know, that makes a lot of sense. And now, and do you have, do you have any tools? You talk about, you know, kind of focusing or refocusing on the heart versus the head. Is there any tools that you use, or maybe that you can tell listeners on how to do? I mean, it's I can understand it, mentally, but exactly how does one, shift the focus to the heart? I mean, does that make sense? I mean, how does one kind of make that shift? So, obviously we know what that mental chatter is. So is it, if you have someone out there who says, I just have this mental chatter and I want to learn how to shift my focus to being heart-centered, what steps would I take to do that?
Well, I'm glad you asked, Robert. So in my book, The Medium in Manolos, I really suggest two things. And these are two practices that I'm really passionate about that I implement in my own life. First of all is meditation. There is nothing quite like meditation. And I don't mean like very elaborate creative visualizations. I mean just genuinely coming back to your own breathing, your own place as a human being in the world, and the spaces between your thoughts is one way that I really enjoy. I usually will sit or lie down and put one hand on my chest and one hand on my tummy and just do some deep breathing and feel my own breath just for a couple of minutes. So that's the first strategy. And the second strategy is, because I am a coach and my approach to helping people develop their mediumship is very much a transformational coaching approach, which is what makes The Medium in Manolos so different. It really is a self-help transformational book for mediums to help the medium get past their own doubts and their own negative thinking, as I had to do. And one of the most significant ways to do that is with the power of questions. The reason I love coaching so much is because coaching is, as the coach, I am a facilitator by which I ask the coachee the best possible question to get them to see themselves and their situation differently and in the best possible light. I believe that we're all mediums, that we're all spirit, and coaching allows us to peel back the different layers of whatever rubble has been piled up on top of that belief in that reality that we're all spirit, that we're all one, that we're all connected. And it's the process by asking questions that allows that kind of digging and excavation to occur. So asking yourself the best possible question, and a great one might in fact be asking yourself, how is it serving me to stay stuck in my head right now? That could be a good question. Another good question is, what is it going to take for me to be able to find my heart space and my gut space rather than my head space? Another one might be, when in the past was a time where being stuck in my head protected me from something? So these kind of questions allow the mind to look at itself differently and to open new doors. And it's in a deeper understanding of the self that we come to a different experience of the self. So those would be my two pieces of advice about how to get into that heart space. Meditation, asking the right questions of yourself, or having the right coach ask you the right questions.
Wonderful. Those are some good specific actions that people can take. Thank you very much for that. So, we have a couple people in the queue that would like to ask a question. So this is let's go ahead and maybe take those and then we'll do a break and then talk about your public speaking aspect. So the first caller that I have is Ashil, and he is calling from New York City. Hello, Ashil.
Hello, how are you?
Good, thank you. How are yourself?
I'm pretty good, and I have a question.
Of course, I'd be glad to help you. What's your question?
Oh, just regarding my career and love life. I don't know if I have to ask to connect to my mother or just ask a question. Whatever you can do, I'm ready for it.
Has your mum passed away now?
Yeah.
Okay. Aseo, I have a few thoughts for you. And my first thought is that the reason you're feeling so confused about what to do and where things are going is because the expectation of what other people want you to do and what is really true to you seem to be conflicting with each other. And I believe your mum was a very loving and positive force in your life. And she was almost like the harbour where you were tied to her like a little ship on the ocean. And now that she's in spirit, it's like all of the waves of life, all of the ups and downs are throwing you around without that security of your mum being there. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. So when a loved one passes to spirit, we can't have them in our life, obviously, the same way that we did before, but we can still have them. We can still love them and connect with them and call upon their guidance and their wisdom. Your mum is not judging your choices from spirit. It's very important that I tell you that. Your mother is not judging your choices. She just wants you to be happy.
Okay.
Okay. I say, does somebody own a shop? Who has a shop?
I used to have involved in a business a few years back, but I had a business partner and, you know, that ended. And I'm just kind of looking forward to do something on my own. Right now, I'm just doing something on the internet, but I'm looking forward to do something on my own business again.
Do you have an online shop?
Yeah, I sell for different online stores.
Perfect. Okay, good. So your mum is giving you a lot of support with your shop, and she is guiding your choices to be very brave. She wants you to make very brave choices. So sometimes the choice that is the bravest is the one that's the most loving. So if we're scared to open our heart or scared to trust somebody or scared to take a chance on somebody, you know, being loyal to us or doing what they say they're going to do, that can be the bravest and the most frightening choice of all. But your mum's encouraging you to trust and make the choice that's boldest to do with your shop. So I know you want to work on your own right now because you've been burned in the past, but there may be somebody coming into your life and business that if you trust them, they're going to help propel you to the next level.
Okay.
Did your mother ever have a nose piercing?
I don't recall because, I kind of lost her when I was really young. You know, I don't really recall, yeah.
Is there a woman in your life now who has a nose piercing?
Not right now. Maybe in the future, but not right now.
I want you to remember that I've mentioned this. It feels to be very important. And I want you to remember that I've mentioned the name Fatima.
The only Fatima I know is this is a new girl that I met. She's a lot. She's just a well-known fashion model that I just met. I'm surprised that came up.
Oh, well, there you go then. Ooh. A seal's fortune is about to turn for the best. So I wish you much happiness, my friend. Thank you so much for calling in. Please let love in and be true to yourself. And please keep working on your shop. If ever you feel afraid or you're not sure or, you know, you're not sure what to do, just keep working on your dream and keep working on your goals. Because I promise Mum is looking over you very closely. And I see your mum wearing a red and gold like sari or dress that's red and gold here, I see. And so she's sending you a lot of love and just wants to wish you so many blessings and happiness for the future. Okay?
Thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
You are
Thank
so
you,
welcome.
All right.
Thank you for calling in. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Boy, Fatima, that was out right on the nose there. So,
yep.
Very much. So we're going to go ahead and take just one more caller, and then we'll go ahead and take our break and then go and talk about the public speaking aspect. So the caller that I have is a woman, Evelyn, and she's calling in from California. Hello, Evelyn.
Hello. I was just blown away as well with the Fatima name. I think the caller was too, so awesome.
Hi, Evelyn. Thank you so much, and thank you for calling in. How are you today?
I'm great. I'm a little bit nervous speaking to you now.
Oh, you don't have to be.
My heart beats a little bit faster. I'm like, all right, calm down, Evelyn.
Well, listen, I'm just a normal girl from Scotland sitting at home in her living room. You don't have to worry about a thing. How can I help you today?
You know, I lost my first love 5 years ago. His name's Joe. And he used to come to me in dreams. And he hasn't done that in a while. And I don't know if he's, you know, off doing something else. But just want to know if he has any messages for me or anything that he wants me to let his family know.
Oh, a very serious feeling has come over me suddenly as you speak about this man, Evelyn. And I think that I really want the feelings that you have about him to change, because things are still very hard for you when you think about him, because you haven't yet taken the appropriate lesson from his life and death. And I don't mean that to be rude to you or cheeky, but my sense is that you are capable of a very great and very deep love relationship, and that you had a sense of that or a taste of that with this person, and you have had your heart broken and have not felt willing or able to go to the depths of that kind of love that you're capable of again, especially
that's
receiving.
True.
Yes. And so he is still very much around you, but he remains quiet because he does not want your heart and head to constantly be pointed towards heaven instead of seeing the great potential for love that's in your precious life right now.
Okay. Wow.
I feel that this man, in fact, his whole family, okay, so I don't want to speak about anybody too personally who isn't here to speak for themselves, but the feeling that I get is that this family gets quite stressed. I see them having quite high blood pressure. I think there's been some heart problems in that family. I feel like they are very tight as a family, but there's quite a lot of like stress around the family. Do you recall that?
His side of the family, well, you know, he was the older. It could be possible, maybe financial stress, because, you know, the mom's in her 50s and she works full-time and the dad too. So, I mean, it's possible. It's high stress. We do live in America is very high-stress place.
Yes, but are they Italian?
He always said he had a little bit of Italian in him, but no.
He
always said, and I was like, sure you are. He said, I was like a great grandparent or so.
Yeah.
Or along the lines, but he's not telling now.
That's what he's laughing about now. You know what? He might have had, he very well might have had, and you may go to Italy, and if you do, you will think of him.
I think I lost you right now. Hello?
I said, can you hear me, Evelyn? Can you hear me okay?
Oh, yes. Uh-huh.
I said, you may go to Italy. And if you do, you will think of him.
I've been wanting to go to Italy. That's the place that I've been wanting to go. I Google trips often and say, one day I'm going to do it. It's just a matter of me not wanting to go alone. You know, my friends always, it's always lack of money on their end. And I'm like, It's a 14-hour flight. I don't think I want to do that by myself. So it's just a matter of having a companion to go with. But I'm definitely going to go.
Evelyn, listen to me very carefully. This is extremely important, because if you take my advice right now, this is going to change the course of your life forever for the better. When you make the decision to go to Italy on your own, and you make the decision to love yourself and love your own company the way that you deserve and desire to, because you are a great woman, I can assure you that you will not be by yourself for very long. And let me also say, hang on, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, someday is not a day of the week. This is a very courageous step for you, but Italy seems to hold many, many keys for you to your happiness and fulfillment and finding love and companionship in the future. But it's almost like when we stop needing it, or we stop waiting for someone else to give us permission, or we stop waiting for someone else to give us what we need to claim for ourselves, suddenly all of these new opportunities and for us. And I know that Joe is supporting you and watching over you and wants you to have that happiness for yourself. So please go to Italy. And also, I must ask you a question, which is, I'm being shown holly. You know, like holly that you have at Christmas?
Yes.
Would you know why I see holly?
I don't know.
Maybe that trip to Italy will be at Christmas time.
I was thinking if I do go, it's probably going to be in December, you're right, because my passport expired and, you know, I was thinking probably December.
Evelyn, do it.
That's probably what that means. Yeah.
Just do it. Don't, honestly, you are capable of a depth of enthusiasm and excitement and love and just being completely lit up by your life that you can't even imagine yet until you literally just walk through the door and do it. And like I said, the you that's going to pop out the other end is going to be your best self.
Wow. It's funny that you picked up on that. That's been on my mind for a couple of years already. So it's kind of myself ignoring, and I told myself that's going to be my gift, my trip to Italy.
Oh, yes. Add me on Facebook because I want to see all the pictures. I'm literally going to set a reminder on my phone to message you on Christmas Day. Like, are you an Italy woman? You better be.
Yes, I need to learn a little bit of Italian then. I'm going to have to go online and learn a couple of words in there. Thank you so much.
Yeah, but they've got an app for that now, Evelyn. the thing is, what I love Lauren was said about, you know, going alone. I mean, you know, going alone, I mean, then every decision that you make, every single place that you go, every single thing that you eat is going to be your choice. You know, it's going to be you. I mean, it's probably one of the biggest opportunities for self-discovery that I bet you would. You would find.
Agreed.
Amen.
Yep. Thank you so much for that. For the confirmation.
Well, thank you.
Well,
thanks for calling, Evelyn. I appreciate that.
I would like to stay on cue, please, if you don't mind, to continue listening
sure,
to the show.
Sure, absolutely.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Well, thank you, Lauren. We're going to go ahead and take a break, Lauren, and then when we come back, I want to talk a little bit about your public speaking aspect of your journey, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. Everyone, stay tuned. We'll be right back after this brief break.
Hello, this is Robert Sharp. I want to thank you for joining us and hope you are enjoying today's show. Just a reminder that we have a wealth of information and resources available on our website, www.biteradio.me. There is a calendar of upcoming shows, along with an archive link that will give you access to more than 1,200 shows we have had over the past 7 years. Also on the site are links to the products and services we provide, books, greeting cards, photography, and a wellness store. Our show is available as a free podcast on iTunes, and you can subscribe for free at the iTunes Store, or even quicker, there is a link on our website homepage. We are also on many social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, etc., and we also have buttons to those platforms on the top of our homepage. Our website, www.biteradio.me, has much for you to explore and enjoy. I also very much appreciate you supporting our guests, and especially today's guest. And now, back to the show.
Okay, everyone, thank you for staying with us again today. My very special guest joining us from the UK is Lauren Robertson, and we've been talking about her book, The Median in Malolos, and also she was very appreciative. I was appreciative of her to take a couple calls. So, again, you can find out more about Lauren, her books, her blog, her work as a coach, by visiting her website, which is laurenrobertson.co.uk. And again, I do have a direct link to her website in the show page description. Okay, so with that, we're back, Lauren.
Hi, Robert.
Hey there. Okay, so again, for those of you in the queue, those were the only calls that we were going to take. So we're going to move on now to talking about your work as a public speaking coach. So how did you move from, you know, the mediumship realm into the public speaking realm? Was it doing, you know, group types of settings for your work?
Yes, that's exactly right, Robert. So my career as a medium has mostly comprised of public speaking. That first day that I got my job at 16 years old, my boss told me, "You don't have to do any readings today. You're just going to shadow one of the other practitioners." And then the day arrived and two of the practitioners had called in sick. So on my very first ever shift at 16 years old, I had to stand up in front of 100 women with no practice whatsoever and deliver a talk about angel cards and then do 10 readings afterwards. And I was so, so scared. But from that moment onwards, I completely fell in love with speaking and teaching and presenting. So 15 years later, and I have spoken on many, many stages all over the world on many different topics, a lot of which has been mediumship. And it is the ultimate and scary speaking, because you cannot prepare at all for what is going to happen. You do not know who the message is for or what's going to come through until you actually put a foot on the stage. And so I know that I've learned a lot about speaking, a lot about how to fill events and how to speak successfully in a way that compels people and helps people. And so I'm very passionate now about passing that information on to other spiritual practitioners and basically anybody who has an alternative voice and an alternative message, that getting that voice out there is going to make this world a better place.
Yeah. So, I mean, it has to have been fine. You know, public speaking is like one of the top fears, you know, when it comes time for, you know, trying to identify what people fear most. So when it comes time to kind of addressing that fear, do you, even today, do you still get that anxiousness maybe prior to going on stage? Does, you know, is and if so, how do you you know, embrace that or transform that into your presentation?
Yes, I definitely do still get butterflies and get nervous, and I just leverage that into enthusiasm and energy. There are some instances where I do feel afraid. If the talk in question has a lot riding on it, so for example, Hay House, who are my publisher, came up to Glasgow to hear me speak and do a demonstration of mediumship, and they were using that talk to make their decision about whether to give me a book deal. So a huge amount was riding on me being successful. Under those type of scenarios, I still get very afraid, you know, when the talk in question is particularly important.
Mm-hmm.
But most of the time, the nerves, I just channel that into enthusiasm. Like, I spend a lot of time exercising. I love the treadmill. I love to swim. And for me, like, exercising around the time of when I'm going to do a talk, like, especially the morning of, helps me get the right kind of energy going. But for me, getting over the fear of speaking really is just about practice. Even if you were to jump out of an aeroplane, and the first time you did it, you were terrified. The second time, you'd be a little bit less scared. The third time, a little bit less scared. By the ninth time, you're so used to it that you don't even feel the same fear anymore. And that's just what the brain is wired to do. When the threat decreases through exposure to something and everything being fine, the panic and the fear diminishes. And so it really is just about continually exposing yourself to the thing that gives you the fear. And about the ninth time that you've spoken, you will not feel afraid anymore.
Yeah, that makes sense. As you get the experience. So how would you say that your public speaking aspect, you know, in the career, you know, in that spirituality career, how do you feel that has benefited you? So, I mean, like, for example, listeners out there who may have been in the angel card reading or doing one-on-ones, but have not yet ventured into groups or public speaking, to those people, what would you say the benefit would be to overcome the fear, confront the fear, and jump into that realm?
Sure. Well, I have a very personal answer to this question, and I have a sort of more professional answer. So I'll very quickly give you both. So on a personal level for me, in the past, I have had challenges with addiction. I have had challenges in my teenage years, in my 20s, with addiction to drugs, to men, to alcohol, to different things. And now in my 30s, I'm completely sober with the help of a drink or do anything at all. And what I realized through becoming a speaker is that any time I was making an addicting choice, I was only ever trying to recapture the feeling that I have when I'm speaking to people on stage. I love to speak to people. I love to find out what makes people tick. I love to present on the stage, and I get such a thrill and a rush from it. And so incorporating speaking more and more into my life, into my work, into my business is truly what keeps me sober and keeps me being the best version of myself that I can be. And anytime I do a speaking event, which I hope that your listeners will come to see me, I do have some events coming up in Canada, California, different places. But anytime, I always say to my audience from the bottom of my heart, thank you for being here. You're keeping me sober and keeping me being my best self by coming here and giving me somebody to talk to, and I mean that wholeheartedly. So there is so much to be learned about your best self and what you are capable of by taking your rightful place as a speaker and a leader and a change maker, by owning your ideas, owning your power, and standing up and admitting that you have something to say and being proud of that. There is so much that you'll grow as a person through that process. At least that's been my experience. So that's the personal answer. On a professional level, speaking builds authority. If you are a practitioner of spirituality or coaching or anything else, say that a client has to choose between you and another person who has the same pricing, the same skill set. If they were to go on your website or your Facebook page, and one practitioner has photos of them speaking in front of a massive crowd and the other one doesn't, then who are you more likely to go with? Who are you more likely to think respected? Who are you more likely to think as the authority and more professional? So on a professional level, speaking is really, really powerful for helping your clients make the decision to work with you. And also, speaking creates really, really strong bonds between you and your clients that you can't find just by doing work with people online, which I know is very popular now. So I definitely recommend, on a personal and professional level, speaking has been completely life-changing for me. It really makes up a huge part of who I am. It's in my DNA, And if you have that urge to speak as well, I definitely recommend you heed the call.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, both those, that personal and professional, I mean, you know, by, you know, taking that leap and maybe confronting the fear of doing that, I think, you know, it's easily understandable, you know, that you're going to have both personal and professional benefits come from that. So now you indicated kind of quickly that you have some upcoming events. Can you, do you have the details available of what they are?
Sure. So the best way to find out the specific details is to follow me on Facebook. But I do know that I will be touring the UK, that starts in a couple of weeks. So I'm going to be doing my Speaker Superstar events, which trains practitioners, change makers, coaches, entrepreneurs on how to speak to grow their business. It's a free event. You come along, you can learn whatever you need to learn there. It's going to be a really great day and a great experience. And then we can discuss if you want to work together after. That's sort of how the events work. So I'm going to be in Birmingham, Glasgow. I'm going to be in Bath and also Leeds. And then later in the year, in October, I'm going to be in Toronto and Vancouver. And then I'm finishing out the year in Los Angeles in the first week of November. So if you are close to any of those vicinities, please do keep an eye on my Facebook. And I will be delighted to see you there.
Well, great. Well, I know I've liked your page on Facebook, so I'll be able to follow that and make sure that listeners know when you're around. I've got quite a good following in Canada and, of course, in California. So that would be easy to promote, and I can, you know, get people there for you. So, is there any kind of final words or, you know, maybe thoughts that you might want to share with the listeners before we end?
Yes, I always have something additional to say. So one thing that was a really important part of my journey, and you can read about it in the Medium and Manolos, is I actually did a degree in consciousness. And one of the modules that I did was metaphysics, and I studied philosophy of time. And sometimes I sit and I look at my own life and I wonder how the heck I got so lucky. We have a joke in my family, what Lauren wants, Lauren gets, because I seem to be able to create the things that I desire for myself and my life, you know, quite magically and quite easily. And I think it's because I've always had this sense that there's a future version of myself who is calling me to her, who already has the answers to the problems that I'm currently facing, who already is a few steps ahead of me on the journey and can look back and give me her wisdom. And I always saw myself in the future as a Hay House author. I always saw myself as a speaker traveling the world. I always saw myself finding love and wealth and meaning in my life. And I always believed that she was calling to me. And then when I studied philosophy of time at university, we actually came across this philosophy that suggests that all of the moments in time are actually happening at once. And time is not a linear sequence of moments to moments flashing in and out of existence, but it's a giant infinite tapestry of experiences and events that are all impacting each other, that are all going on at the same time. The reason that I wanted to share this with your listeners is because I know there's a lot of people listening right now that also have dreams and desires, but they're losing faith or they're losing focus, or they look at the odds of actually being able to accomplish what they want, and they think that they're so infinitesimally small that there's no chance. And I would invite each and every one of you to transform your thinking about that and know that the desires in your heart are your future self has already accomplished them, calling you to him or her. The odds of you accomplishing the things you want are not extremely small. You want them because they are already done. They are already set at a moment in time in the future. All you have to do is keep putting one foot in front of the other, keep having faith, and keep knowing that that future self has already got it handled. All you have to focus on is being your happiest, most productive, most joyful self in the here and now. That's it.
Well, that's great. You know that is, recognizing, that whole time perspective that's, the past, present, and future are kind of all happening simultaneously. That's, that when, and quite often in spirit, the idea of quite often we get, that there's no time, there, that it's, I think if a person holds that perspective, then, hope can, be present. The idea of not being bound by past, and really kind of focusing on the present really just makes for a much more fulfilling present.
Absolutely. So often we look at the past and we don't take wisdom from it. Instead, we take blame or shame or punishment from it. And exactly like you said, the present also has something to offer us. And I think the future has something to offer us as well. And that both the past and the future have a role to play in helping you live your fullest present. So that's my thoughts on the matter.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for your time today, Lauren. I've really thoroughly enjoyed speaking with you. And again, I appreciate you taking the calls for the listeners, because your information for each of those really kind of we can all apply to our lives, And so again, thank you for taking those calls.
You're welcome. Thank you so much to the callers as well, and for having me on the show, Robert. It's been so much fun.
Thank you. My pleasure. And everybody, do go to Lauren's Facebook page and like her page and follow her journey. And if you're going to be in an area where she is going to be presenting an event, do go and see her in person. So, everyone, I want to thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. And again, my very special guest has been Lauren Robertson, joining us from the UK. We've been talking about her book, The Medium in Manolos, and also about her public speaking coaching support that she provides. You can find out more about all of the book and services by visiting her website, which is laurenrobertson.co.uk. And again, there is a direct link to her website in the show page description. So everyone, I want to thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. And until we meet again,
thank you for tuning in. You've been listening to the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Be sure to visit our website at www.biteradio.me. That's biteradio.me. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at Byte Radio Me. And our shows are also available as a free podcast from iTunes. And until we meet again, remember to be a bright light by bringing inspiration to your world and to the lives of those you touch.